And it's Lent, of course, and during Lent we try to take a look at where we've been in life and see what we can do to make our lives better. And who better to be with us and talk to us about our goals is Caroline Adams Miller. She's a writer, she's a coach, she's a psychologist, and she's got a website at carolinemiller.com. Caroline, hello.
Hi, thank you for that really nice introduction, but let me quickly correct you. I'm not a psychologist, but I have a master's in positive psychology.
All right, well, tell me about that, because I see here that you have a master's in applied positive psychology. So that sounds like a psychologist to me. What's the difference? What do I know?
I'll take it. No, it's closely related, but it's not as rigorous as what psychologists go through.
So okay.
Let me quickly kind of dispel that myth, although it's certainly nice of you to elevate me. What I do, though, is I'm a full-time performance coach, and a few years ago when the University of Pennsylvania said that they were going to study the science of happiness from a master's level, I was one of hundreds of people who applied and got into this extraordinary one-year program. And I love the title of your show because it really is what's behind the science of becoming a happier person. And that is, if you change your mind and you change the way you act, you will change your life. And in the process, you can move your set point to the top of your genetically determined range. And I am the first person to marry the science of happiness together with the science of goal setting. And that's what I have a book coming out with Barnes & Noble next January about this very topic. I have a co-author from Baylor University who works with quality of life studies, but basically here's our message. Our message is that you can change the quality of your life by having a life list and making those goals happen, very much like the bucket list movie has shown us all how to do it, although
right.
It's a lot of glamorous goals on that list, and that's certainly not what you need to have on your list.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that's been one of the things that's come up since The Secret. One of the things that The Secret gets criticized for is that it seems to be, and it's really not true if you really look closely at the movie, but it's a lot of it is about, you know, material possessions and having big cars and, you know, this kind of thing. And all of that's fine, but it's not what life is really all about.
I have a real problem with The Secret, and I'm sure that the people who created it intended to do no harm, but let me tell you what they left out. They left out the science of goal setting, and they left out the science of well-being. They talk a lot about material possessions and about affirmations, et cetera, et cetera. What they leave out is one of the most important qualities of getting what you want in life, and that is the quality of grit and the quality of sticking to it and doing hard work and also setting goals that are not what's called extrinsic goals. Extrinsic goals are superficial goals, goals like, look at me, I've got the biggest house, I've got the best car, I've got the fanciest vacation place. Well, the research is pretty clear that those kinds of goals not only don't make you happier, there's something called the hedonic treadmill that explains that, but you don't gain any lasting joy from actually working towards the accomplishment of extrinsic goals. Intrinsic goals, the ones that are self-authored, the ones that are driven by your values, such as being a better friend, volunteering more time to a community, leaving the world a better place by establishing a library in the name of a teacher who moved your life, those are the kinds of goals that really do bring lasting joy, that really don't come up when you hear about The Secret. So I don't want to be a blanket condemnation of what they say, but I have to say it's kind of a magical approach to life that isn't necessarily valid or helpful to people who may be disappointed and feel like somehow God doesn't like them if, you know, things didn't work out for them. There's a science behind goal setting, and that's what this book will contain, and that's what I hope people will want to learn about.
We're talking to Caroline Adams Miller. She is known as Coach Caroline, and you'll find her on the web at carolinemiller.com. Now, science of happiness. Now, that's interesting. I've never heard of a science of happiness before. Tell me a little bit about that. How is it scientific?
Well, one of the things that's been proven conclusively in the last 30 years is that we not only are we wired genetically for a certain happiness set point that's inherited from, you know, who gave birth to us, but we can boost that set point a little bit, and we can also lower it permanently through things like getting widowed. I mean, there's some people who never get back to baseline after they've lost their life partner. But one of the things that's been proven conclusively by researchers all over the world is that things like gratitude, things like Random acts of kindness, using your signature strengths in new and different ways, even meditation. The process of meditation has been shown to rewire the brain, and what people are finding is that it does make us lastingly happier in a wide variety of life domains. And that's exciting new research. Time magazine had it on the cover in January of 2005, and there's been just an absolute onslaught of books in the last few years by people who really have scientific credibility. A brand new book came out 2 months ago by Sonia Lyubomirsky, who's a genius out at the University of California at Riverside, who's done phenomenal research on things about, you know, how do you change your life by writing down your goals and, you know, imagining a best possible outcome, for example. So kind of in a nutshell, and I'm not doing justice to the movement, it has attracted some of the best minds in the world, and it is possible to change that set point a little bit. And when you do, what's even more exciting is that it's been found that becoming even a little bit happier, much like the difference between Tiger Woods and an elite golfer is 3 sunk putts around, all it takes is just a few more volitional, that means, you know, things that you do by yourself, positive experiences during the day to put you in that tipping point where so many positive things happen in your life, from better health, better supervisor ratings, you make more money, you're more likely to retain your job, you're able to produce more antibodies. I mean, the results are absolutely flat out extraordinary. So success does not precede happiness. What's been found is that happiness precedes success in life across all domains. So people really need to know what can be done to boost your set point a little bit.
We're talking to Caroline Adams Miller. She is an author. She is a coach. She is Coach Caroline at carolinemiller.com. All right. How do we boost our set point? What are some things that we can do to make ourselves happier and therefore more successful?
Well, gratitude is the character trait most closely associated with happiness. So something as simple as writing down your blessings at the end of every day, even just 3 blessings and why they happen to you, has been found to have lasting boosts in happiness. So improving your gratitude in a variety of ways has been shown to help. Knowing what your strengths are, set your top 5 strengths, and using them professionally and personally in the service of accomplishing your goals has also been found to make people much happier. Exercise, physical exercise, again, this is a no-brainer, but it bears repeating, has been shown over and over and over again to help people become happier. And there was a news report just, I think, yesterday from Great Britain saying that doctors over there now find it so incontrovertibly factual that they are telling people who struggle with depression to get out and exercise. That's part of the prescription. Meditation, I mean, just simple forms of meditation, as little as 20 minutes a day of just simple prayer, centering prayer, any kind of spiritual tradition has been found to boost your well-being in a lasting way. There's, you know, even knowing how to accomplish your goals, that's another one. That's why I have this wonderful contract with Sterling Publishing. If you know how to accomplish your goals and you pursue them with vigor on a regular basis, you too can become a happier person. So those are just a few of the ways. Now, adding more money, getting a raise, getting into the college of your dreams, landing the romantic relationship of your life, those are not things that make people lastingly happier, I'm really sorry to say. You know, once we achieve things that we think are going to make us happy, we find that we're on the hedonic treadmill and we adapt to those things. And there's been really interesting research done on paraplegics and lottery winners to show how we really do adapt to our circumstances. But these other things, these things that change the quality of who we are, tend to make us much happier people long term. But it's work. And again, the secret leaves this out. It's work.
Yeah, you mentioned
have to work at it.
Yep, you mentioned grit earlier on, and that's, I think it's a wonderful word. It really, you've got to do it every day.
Well, and grit is exciting. I mean, that is really, really exciting research coming out of the University of Pennsylvania. It's being led by Angela Duckworth, a young woman who was, you know, a teacher, and she has a remarkable resume, but, you know, just in a nutshell, she was a teacher who found that the most exceptional students weren't always the brightest students in her classes, and she wanted to figure out what distinguished, you know, the really exceptional people from the average people. So she and Marty Seligman did a survey of all the best people across all domains, whether they were pianists or electricians or whatever, because they wanted to find out what is that trait. And what they've decided to call it is grit. And you can take your own grit scale at AuthenticHappiness.com. It's free. You just register with your email address. I think it's a 20 or 25 question scale. And grit has now, that score is now the leading predictor of who drops out at West Point during that first summer. And it's also the leading predictor of who finals at the National Spelling Bee. So if you don't have grit, you can't accomplish your goals because it really requires not being a quitter. And in this country, too many people quit when the going gets hard. And I think we have a national epidemic of children who are growing up not learning how to write thank you notes, not learning how to stick in there unless they get a trophy. You have to have the quality of grit, and that is essential if you want to accomplish your goals for Lent or your goals for anything else in life.
And what I'm hearing you saying, Caroline, is it's not just positive thinking. Positive thinking alone is not going to do it.
Correct. It's positive thinking, it's positive behavior, it's positive social relationships. You know, one of the things that's been found among happy people is that they have approximately 7 close friends. Extroverts or people who pretend to be extroverted in order to gain the benefits of socializing, and that's work, are people who are happier. So it's not just about standing in front of the mirror and saying, I am a terrific person. It doesn't work. You have to go out. You have to volunteer your time. You have to be grateful. You have to give back. You have to spend time with upbeat people. I mean, there's really interesting research showing that one 20-minute call with a depressed person is all it takes to bring you down.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the social contagion theory holds. I mean, you have to know who is acting in your best interest, who brings out the best in you, who are you a better person for spending time with. And Harvard Medical School published an amazing study in September showing that the leading predictor of obesity is who your friends are. It's not even the food you eat.
No kidding.
It's who your friends are. Dr. Nicholas Christakis did this research and found that when you did a social web, the people who are close to the obese person or whose values they appreciate, if those people are obese, you are more likely to be obese. And let me just extrapolate that for the purposes of this show. If you spend time with proactive, zestful, happy people who go after their goals and leave the world a better place, you stand a much higher likelihood of being that way, too. So the old saying, birds of a feather flock together, that holds true. There's a lot of wisdom in that little phrase.
We're talking to Caroline Adams-Miller. She's Coach Caroline at carolinemiller.com. You know, people listening to the program tonight and hearing, you know, the kind of people you associate with is important and so on in setting your goals. But it's hard to just turn around and associate with a whole new bunch of people. How do you do that? Do you have some suggestions for doing that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you have to get quiet and you have to decide what is it that you're heading towards. If you change nothing in your life, where would you be in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? And you can generally get a sense of how zestful you are. Are you a risk taker? I mean, you have to be willing to take risks. And so if you're hanging out with a bunch of people who always play it safe, you know, you aren't going to get what you want. So you really have to get quiet and be introspective and say, who do I spend time with? How do I spend my day? What is the obituary that I am writing with every action I take today? And if it's not what you want to leave behind as a legacy for yourself, for your children, for people who know you, then you have to set your intention and decide how do you want to change. And you have to go about it gradually with baby steps. But you must have a written plan. On my website, carolinemiller.com, I have a free downloadable form called 100 Things to Do Before I Die. And it's a really fun way to get going, to find out what it is you really do want to do. And then I have another fantastic website called your100things.com where you can log on, use a pseudonym, use initials, use a screen name, it doesn't matter, but you can put your goals up and get support from around the world from other people who are on the website also going after their goals, and they'll cheer you on. So you can get good ideas about your goals, and then you have to really decide who goes along on this journey with you. And you can't do a wholesale change in your life. That doesn't work. But you can do it gradually if the intention is there and the grit is there.
See, I think that's so important. We can't do this alone. And we try to do it alone, we fail. We have to have other people around us to support us, to criticize us sometimes, mm-hmm. and to just be there and so that we know there are other people doing it too.
Well, and you have to have role models.
Right.
You know, Al Bandura at Stanford University created what's called self-efficacy theory. And happy people have that as one of their traits. It's the fourth trait. They feel self-confident. They have a feeling of self-efficacy. And how do you build that? Well, one of the ways they find that you build it is that you have role models, either within your domain or, you know, people that you've read about, but you have to do it with other people. And you have to have that support and that verbal persuasion from people you believe in and who believe in you. And if you don't have those mentors, those guardian figures, those coaches, those parents, you've got to find them, because they will, you know, dramatically increase your chances of not only being successful, but of believing in yourself enough so that your actions begin to have a domino effect in your life. Because you will have an impact on all the areas of your life if you do something like taking a risk physically. You know, it's been found that if you take a risk physically and you're successful, like, you know, skydiving, for example, you will become more of a risk taker emotionally. So it makes a difference to have those role models, to do it with other people, and to learn from what they've done before.
Caroline Adams Miller is Coach Caroline on the internet at carolinemiller.com. Yeah, Caroline, I think sometimes when we hear people like yourself and like myself who write books and who talk about positive things and goal setting and happiness and all of this, sometimes, you know, people will say to us, well, you know, that's okay for you. I mean, you know, Coach Caroline never had a bad day. Father Paul never had a bad day. Mm-hmm. But that's not true for you. It's you have a story and you've written about that story.
Well, that's interesting you brought that up, because sometimes I feel like they're unrelated, but they're really not. You're right. I wrote the first book by a survivor of bulimia, which is a devastating eating disorder, and that book came out in 1988. And you know, the fact that I had to bring myself back to the world of the living, essentially by myself, because there was not a protocol for eating disorder recovery back in the 80s. It was still somewhat unknown. I'm not even sure it made it into the DSM-3, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. And I used goal-setting strategies kind of unconsciously, and as I got better, and a lot of people came to me over the last few decades and asked me, how did I do it? How did I create it? I learned these goal-setting strategies and have been working as a coach for 10 years. When I added the positive psychology layer, I understood that we all have these tools available to us if we choose to learn about them and use them. So, you know, I have had lots and lots of bad days, probably more bad days than a lot of people will ever have times 10, but it doesn't mean you can't create a life of high well-being, high accomplishment, zest, but it is up to you to turn it around and to find the people who will help you get there.
Now, one of the things that we talked about, the support of others, and sometimes people find coaches helpful. Tell us about your coaching. What do you do?
Well, what I do is I have clients really all over the world who call me to help them have accountability, and that's a key piece of accomplishing a goal. You need to have some kind of accountability. It's very rare to find the individual who can say to themselves, oh, I'm going to, you know, stop smoking, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to apply to medical school, I'm going to do all these things I dream of, and then not have something in place where people know about it. The more people who know about your goals, the more likely you are to accomplish them. But in coaching, if you come to someone who's trained in understanding the science of goal setting and the positive psychology piece, you dramatically increase your chances of actually getting these things done. So people, you know, buy packages of usually 3 months at a time with me, and they talk to me on the phone. I usually don't meet with people in person because the work goes that much more quickly. There are no visual distractions. There's no distractions. We get right to the point, and it's like working on the labor and delivery floor of a hospital. Everybody's happy, and everybody's happy because they begin to really have hope, and hope is a key feature of happy people. Once you have hope and you know someone believes in you, I mean authentically believes in you and isn't just selling you a line to get money, because I turn down at least half the people who come to me because it has to be the right fit, people begin to do superhuman things, things they didn't think they could do before, but they do it because they know someone else believes in them. And I have story after story after story of people whose lives have been transformed in the process of coaching. So, you know, you can use a coach. You know, athletes have coaches. Every athlete, elite athlete I know has a coach who holds them accountable to show up for practice, you know, work outside their comfort zone, et cetera. But you can do this with an accountability buddy. I help people put together groups of 10 people who meet monthly in person and set and achieve goals as a group. But it's that process of that shared energy and that shared enthusiasm with the right people that can make all the difference.
Now, your website, CarolineMiller.com, has all sorts of resources for people. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one of the things I want people to do is if they come to my website and they can't afford coaching, I want them to walk away with a lot of free information about how to get going, because there was a time in my life when I was verging on bankruptcy 20, 25 years ago when I started a company. And, you're kind of out of the game at that point. So I never want people to feel like they're out of the game. So I want people to have resources. I want them to have an understanding of what it takes to accomplish their goals. And another thing I've done that no one else is doing is I have 15-minute podcast interviews on my podcasting page with all of the leaders in positive psychology, and they're about 15 minutes apiece because I want people to be exposed to these ideas and to get fired up. I mean, I have a great one with Roy Baumeister, who's, you know, the top guy in the world, as far as I know, around self-regulation. You have to be able to self-regulate your behavior in order to accomplish goals. I mean, that's really right at the fundamental of can you actually withstand temptation. So just listening to those 15-minute interviews for free might be the difference in your life. So that's what I have on my website. And I have, you know, positive stories. I have positive moments in film, because it's been shown that 8 minutes of distraction can actually snap somebody out of rumination.
Really?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, 8 minutes, isn't that great that researchers have found that if you're sitting around ruminating by yourself alone in your room, 8 minutes of social distraction with the right kind of person can actually change your brain?
Amazing.
I mean, that to me is extraordinary. That's a prescription I can write for a client and say, give me 8 minutes, go out, get on that treadmill, go outside, walk the dog, talk to the neighbor, come back, call me, tell me how you feel. It's that tipping point that can change their day.
Well, it's all fascinating stuff, and you obviously are really an expert on putting it into practice, and you've shared such great insights with us tonight. Caroline Adams Miller, thank you. And again, we'll direct people back to CarolineMiller.com and get all of those good resources.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and I hope you have a wonderful Lent.
You too. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Caroline Adams Miller. She's Coach Caroline at CarolineMiller.com.